Welcome to Straight and Curly,
a podcast for self-improvement junkies.
I'm Kelly Exeter.
And I'm Carly Jacobs.
This is episode 79.
Hello and welcome to Straight and Curly. Before we get started today, Kelly and I decided that we wanted to start giving back to our community a little bit and giving shout outs to all the amazing people that leave reviews for us. So each week we're going to read out a review and thank that person for leaving it. So the first one we're going to do is CS Yoda, who left a review in May this year. She says, "This is one of my favorite three podcasts. I never skip an episode. It's practical, inspirational, and often funny. I formed quite an attachment to the hosts and like to think we're friends in real life. And the feel of the podcasts add to that. It's like a chat with your most with it friends," which is so nice. Thank you so much, CS Yoda. You're lovely.
Oh, that's so awesome, because that is actually what we are aiming for. We don't pretend to be experts. We really take the angle of being enthusiasts about what we talk about and what we research. So that's really what we want. Like, we are two good friends having a chat, and we love it when listeners say that they feel like they're part of the conversation. So thank you so much for that review. And on the topic of reviews, so we have recently moved away from the network that we were part of because the network shut down. So we're just an independent podcast now. And unfortunately, in doing so, we lost all our 85 reviews on iTunes,
which is devastating.
Which is so devastating, because they're hard fought, those reviews. And we had a 5-star rating from those reviews. So if you have left a review for us before, we would love you so much if you went back and left another one again. And if you haven't left a review yet, what are you waiting for? Oh, okay. I know what you're waiting for. iTunes makes it really difficult to leave a review. But
they really do.
Come into the group if you're not sure, and we will point you in the right direction. But reviews help with our ranking on iTunes and help get the podcast in front of other people, especially the right kind of people, the ones that, you know, want to be listening to the show but don't know about it yet. So yeah, if you've got the chance to leave us a review, or another review if you've left one already, we would be so grateful. So, Carls, what is the show about today?
Today we're going to be talking about, we're doing a proper trial of a life hack again this episode, which was similar to what we did back in the beginning of Straight and Curly, and we've sort of continued to do. So we're going to, this week we trialed single tasking, which is not something that comes naturally to Kelly and I. We're very big on the multitasking. So Kelly, do you want to share a bit about the whys and hows of single tasking and exactly what it means?
Yeah. So in modern times, we humans feel we've evolved into beings who can multitask quite effectively, and hyper-efficient people in particular think nothing, which is everybody that listens to this podcast, think nothing of having, you know, multiple internet tabs open while their email program is pinging and their phone is flashing up notifications all over the place. And I think we've all gotten to thinking that we're really good at processing all these multiple inputs, but there has been a great deal of research done on the efficacy of multitasking. And what that research has revealed is two things. Carls?
So with a few exceptions, and we'll talk about those later, there's not really such a thing as multitasking. So most of the things that we consider multitasking is actually task switching, which is moving back and forth from one task to another, which obviously isn't very conducive to getting things done. There are two huge costs of multitasking as well. So one, it takes us longer to do any given task. And two, it literally drains our brain's energy in the same way driving a car at 150k drains our fuel tank when compared to driving 80k's an hour.
Yeah. So I guess what's the antidote to all of this task switching? And of course, it's going to be what we're talking about today, which is single tasking. And it's something that sounds easy in theory, but as Carls and I found out, it isn't. So we both experimented with single tasking for a week, and it threw up some really interesting things for both of us. So in today's episode, we're going to talk about our experiences when we tried single tasking. We're going to talk about some situations and scenarios where it is actually possible to effectively multitask. And then we're going to offer up some tips for single tasking if you want to give it a go. So first of all, Carls, how did you go with single tasking?
Oh my God, I suck at it so badly. I was terrible. And I was concentrating really hard on doing it because I knew that it was for the podcast. And I was thinking, I'm just really going to give this a proper red hot go and I'm going to be really good at it. I'm going to have all these insightful things. I hated it. I hated it so much. Because I'm a crazy multitasker. So I crochet while I'm in front of the TV, or I listen to audiobooks while I crochet. I wander around the house and tidy up when I'm brushing my teeth. When I'm researching this podcast, I always have another podcast on in the background. Yeah, I respond very well to background noise. Silence really does not work very well for me. And I find that even if I'm listening to something, if I listen to an album while I'm writing, if my music stops, I end up on Facebook within 10 seconds. So I need to, and it happens every time. So I didn't enjoy it at all.
Well, I was a bit the same. Kelly? Like I knew I was going to struggle with it for a different reason to you. And that reason is, I don't like to sit with discomfort for more than 2 seconds. So for me, discomfort looks like either boredom or not knowing what to do next. So if a TV show I'm watching gets mildly boring for like 30 seconds, I will immediately twitch towards my phone and just go,
oh, shit, yeah.
What's everyone doing on Facebook at the moment? Or if, you know, if I'm writing something and I don't know what to write next, like, again, I immediately twitch towards Facebook or Twitter because I'm just, I'll just go and give my brain a little bit of rest and I'm sure I'll find the inspiration I need in those places. And even just stupid things like, you know, if I fire up my internet banking and it takes more than 1 second to load, which it does, I immediately open another browser or go check my email. So I knew it was going to be difficult and it's absurd, my behavior. And I know that
I do the exact same thing. Don't stress. I can't wait for something to load for 3 seconds. Also, our internet in Australia is rubbish.
Yes.
It is so terrible. Well, every time I go to America and I load up like my bank and it just pops up immediately,
shocked.
What are you doing in Australia? They're constantly talking about, you know, getting better businesses in Australia and supporting startups. We need to sort out our internet for a start.
Yeah. I mean, our problem is we're so spread out, but then so is the US. They're pretty spread out. It's a big thing over here at the moment, a big government thing that both parties are going back and forth about it and doing really nothing effective. So it's very frustrating. But, yeah, I remember when you went to the US and you were talking about just how much faster you got things done because of so much of what you do is internet-based, like in the WordPress admin or anything like that, or uploading something. And I was like, yeah, this is the problem because we're so used to having to wait for something to load or do it that, yeah, this is – I'm blaming the internet. It's not my fault
for being twitchy. For us, really short attention spans.
So I definitely, in my head, despite knowing all the research and knowing it's counterproductive, I do think I'm really great at jumping back and forth and juggling multiple things at once. And I do, in my head, think it's more efficient to do so. So this was an interesting experiment. So, Carls, what did you single task when you were giving it a go?
I single tasked all the obvious stuff, like brushing my teeth and not wandering around the house and doing something else at the same time as brushing my teeth. Mainly I thought it would be an interesting experiment because my partner has that thing where he doesn't like hearing people crunch. And, you know, it makes people really angry. Yeah. Has anyone ever met people who have that? It absolutely drives him bonkers. And that extends to me brushing my teeth. He doesn't like to hear things touch my teeth. So it drives him nuts when I wander around the house and I just kind of go, oh, look, suck it, dude. It's like 3 minutes a day and I'm unstacking the dishwasher, so bite me. But I decided to single task brushing my teeth and I hated it. I hated it so much. I was
Doesn't
so bored.
Doesn't it feel like a waste of time?
Such a waste of time. It was just awful. And I'm so ashamed to say this, but I have an electric toothbrush that's got a timer on it. And I actually can't tell you how long it goes for.
2 minutes.
Sometimes it feels
– It's two minutes, yeah.
Oh, okay. Because sometimes it feels like 20 seconds and sometimes it feels like 5 hours. So I'm a really bad judge of how long that takes. And the first time I went to do it, I couldn't wait until the end. I cut it off. I was just – brushing my teeth and I think I would have been a minute through it and my brain was going, we can't do this anymore. We're going to jump off a cliff. This is horrible. So I failed. I will try again. I haven't tried again because it was so awful the last time, but I will. The thing is that this makes me sound like such a millennial, but the thing is that I'm actually okay not being stimulated while I'm outside of my house. So I'll sit at a cafe and just watch people, you know, and when I'm traveling, I don't need constant stimulation. But if I'm standing in my own bathroom that I've looked at four times a day for the past 6 years, I cannot do that because there's no information. There's nothing new in there. It's not a particularly nice place to hang out. It's not like I'm sitting on a, you know, mossy knoll somewhere meditating or whatever. So that was... I sucked at this so bad.
This is funny because this is like the time we did that digital detox and you were like, oh yeah, I just left my phone on the shelf and then I left it there for 2 days. And meanwhile, I'm like kind of having like this massive twitch attack at not being able to find out exactly what temperature it is at any given moment of the day. So this is fun.
I was fine with the digital detox. It's just this like having to be bored thing that really pissed me off. So I didn't do any big things single tasking because I already know how terrible that is. I listen to boring podcasts when I'm writing because silence just absolutely destroys me. And I won't go supermarket shopping unless I'm listening to a podcast and I won't go to the gym or go for a walk without listening to a podcast. But that's exercising. I'm more than happy to go for a walk that is just around without listening to something. But if I'm exercising, it's already painful enough. I don't need it to be boring as well. So what did you single task, Kelly? Did you get better than, you know, half doing one thing?
Than 1 minute of brushing your teeth.
I think that's the officially the biggest fail I've had on this podcast. I can't brush my teeth.
I'm actually crying. I'm wiping tears from my eyes. So I knew I was going to struggle, so I aimed to start small. So the first kind of thing I did was like, okay, if I logged into my internet banking, like before I logged in, I was like, right, Kelly, this is going to take 2 to 3 seconds to load once you hit, you know, submit, once you put your username and password in and hit submit, you are going to sit there for that 2 to 3 seconds and let it load.
I love your creepy disciplining yourself voice. Now, Kelly, there's going to be consequences if you don't do this.
You're going to have to admit to everyone that listens to the podcast that you can't sit still for 2 seconds.
That's, oh my God, you're a closet obliger.
Oh, I know. I am upholder with a touch of obliger, like you're upholder with a touch of questioner. Good touch of questioner. Yeah. And also the other thing is like when I'm in my internet banking, like because sometimes I'm flashing between, like I say, I'm paying bills for the business, so I have to go to zero, see what bill needs to be paid, and then go back to internet banking and pay it. And quite often I get distracted in zero and go, oh, let's have a look at our P&L, or, you know, just really stupid things like, oh, look, that client doesn't have their full address in. I'll go look up that client's address. It's dumb. So I logged into my internet banking and I'm like, you're here to pay bills. You just pay the bills before you do anything else. And it took a lot of willpower to do that. So it was quite crazy. The other one was like if I was making a coffee, like I stood there and I watched the coffee machine doing its thing rather than, you know, pottering around the kitchen, tidying up, putting a load of laundry on, coming in back and finding my coffee's actually gone cold because I completely forgot about it. Like I just watched the coffee make, which was the most deathly boring 1 minute of my life. It takes me 4 minutes to brush my teeth, and the reason I know it takes me 4 minutes is because it's two cycles of the electric toothbrush, so 2 times 2 minutes.
Do you double brush your teeth?
It's really bad, but I know it's not good for my gums, and I'm trying to cut back, but my teeth don't feel clean unless I've spent 2 minutes on the top and 2 minutes on the bottom.
Oh my God, you are such a person who would be addicted to brushing your teeth. That's amazing.
It's dumb, I know. And everyone's like,
I think that's the most Kelly thing you've ever said.
So it's 4 minutes. Imagine 4 minutes standing there brushing your teeth, not walking around.
I don't want to, it's horrible.
So this is why I usually scroll through Instagram when I'm brushing my teeth. But I put the phone away and I stood in my bathroom and again, it was deathly boring, but I tried to be mindful. I tried to like focus on the tooth that I was cleaning and all that stuff. And yeah, no worries. Don't want to do it again.
I just don't think your teeth need that much attention. No, I mean, you're brushing them. They don't need your full mind support behind it as well. Like they're just not that needy.
Well, I was trying to turn it into like a mini meditation because I was like, I have to make this something that's not just brushing my teeth because otherwise I just can't do it. Lame. So lame. But this is interesting things when you do and you find out just how twitchy and weird you are is when you do experiments like this. So
yeah.
And I also went for runs without music and I would drive home from work, which is about 20 minutes, without listening to a podcast, which is what I normally do. And then I tried some more involved things, like if I was writing something like an email or a podcast notes or a blog post, if I got stuck while doing any of those things, which always happens, which is the whole I don't know exactly what to write next, like I forced myself to sit there rather than jumping away to something else. And that was the hardest thing out of all of it, was not, yeah, encountering a roadblock and jumping off somewhere else just to do something while I don't know. I can't sit there and look at a roadblock. I have to do something else. So, yeah. So I was going to say that kind of next question we were going to tackle is what you found it hard to single task. Was it like everything?
Yeah, I found everything really hard, and there were some things I didn't even attempt just because I already know that it's going to help me complete the task less efficiently. So if I go to the supermarket and I'm not listening to a podcast, I'm going to rush and I'm going to forget something because I don't want to be there and I want to go home and get back to doing stuff that I want to do. Whereas if I've got a podcast, I can wander around and read my labels and pick my things and do that kind of stuff just because it slows me down, because I'm quite a fast-paced person and I require things to slow me down, which I embrace and I think that's fine. I don't – like it's not a flaw, guys. It's not a flaw. my main issue is that I found it really hard to keep it up. So I'm so used to utilizing every second of my time. Breaking that habit was really hard. I did actually make tea without using the jug boiling time to unstack the dishwasher, and it actually just physically hurt me. I hated it, and I couldn't even stand there. I ended up walking into our office and just kind of like poking Ben.
Just hovering.
Like, just, can you? And he's like, what are you doing? And I'm really bored right now. Oh my God. I hated it so much. And I couldn't waste that time. And ordinarily I just unstack the dishwasher and not even think about it. But because I'm standing there just, oh God, it was awful. I also find it hard to stick to things that seem pointless. So I gave this experiment my all, which is, I mean, it's not a lie, but my all just is really crap. But because there were no consequences to me failing, I just forgot all about it. So I would never forget to exercise. I'd never forget to do my washing. I'd never forget to eat healthily, because there's actual consequences to doing that. With single tasking, to me, it just made everything take longer, and there was no consequence to me not doing that. I mean, I might just be missing all of the research and probably just being really crap at this, but it just, for me personally, it didn't seem to work.
And do you know what I think it is for you and me in situations like this? And it's a little bit the same when I deleted Facebook off my phone and everyone was like, this is going to change your life. And I'm like, well, it didn't change my life, because I think the thing that people having Facebook on their phone, what they find, it gets in the way of them getting things done. So that's why they take it off their phone, and then there's nothing getting in the way of getting things done. Whereas like, I don't have that problem. If something needs to get done, I just get it done. So I guess, yeah, I mean, the thing with single tasking is they reckon, yeah, the studies show that it makes you mentally more tired jumping back and forth from task to task. But when you're, let's say you're writing, do you find it difficult to stay on task when you're writing? Do you do what I do? Like if you get roadblock for 2 seconds, you jump away, or are you able to push through that?
It depends on what I'm writing. If I'm writing for a client, I find that slightly more difficult than just kind of writing thoughts in my own head. So if I'm writing a blog post for Smaggle, I can write a whole blog post without getting sidetracked just because I've done it for so long. It doesn't require research. Those are hard words to say next to each other. And it just kind of flows out of my head. Whereas if I'm writing something for, you know, say an interior design client, I need to flick to this and go and grab this and go and grab this link and research this. And the second I get out of that task. So if I'm writing an article and I need to research something, when I go onto the internet to research, I'll just end up completely somewhere else. And then I'll think, how did I end up here? What was I doing before? And then I'll have to go back. But I do find that my listening to boring podcasts really keeps me on task. I thrive in chaos, that which is really weird for an upholder, but I think it might be an extrovert thing. I think I need stimulus and
yeah, because you work at home alone, so that's basically like kind of being in a noisy office almost.
Yeah, I'm creating a fake office for myself. That's why one of my favorite apps is Coffeetivity. Yeah. It just makes cafe noises, which helps me a lot.
Cool,
because silence kills me. I hate it. So what did you? Which question are we up to for you? Well, so what did you find hard to single task?
I found the completely mindless things. So things that don't really take brain activity, like brushing your teeth or walking, those are things I found hard to single task because I was like, I'm not using my brain for this activity. I don't need to give it my full attention, you know. So in theory, I should have been enjoying the empty headspace that it created for me, but all it did was really, it just made me super twitchy and angsty. I also found it really, really hard not to open another browser when anything that I was logging into, whether it was into my WordPress, the back end of my WordPress website, whether it was into MailChimp or internet banking or just anything that required a login and password, the second I pressed, you know, submit or go on the button, I immediately went to open another browser window, and it was such an automatic response to do that. And I can, yeah. And again, I'm just going to blame Australia's slow internet here rather than my own, you know, incapacity to single task. But yeah, the other thing is I found staying on one high level cognitive task, like, you know, writing something that I wasn't, you know, fully across, or having, you know, composing a difficult email or something, I found that difficult to do without, yeah, staying on task to do that. That was the hardest thing for me.
Yeah.
So what did you find easy? Anything?
I find single tasking with people super easy. So if I'm in the company of another person, my phone doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. Yep. I am an ambivert though. Like I'm leaning more towards being an extrovert, but I do need my alone time. So I certainly get energy from spending time with other people. So that is an ideal scenario for me. I can also single task when watching really, really good TV shows. So they have to be really spectacular, but when I stop crocheting to watch a show, I know it's really good. So The Handmaid's Tale was one that I watched recently that was fantastic, and I didn't crochet at all during that. And Westworld was the other one before then. So yeah, I crochet all the time, like during movies, when I'm on the phone to people, when my friends are over. So if I, and you guys know, I just said how useless I am at doing one thing at a time. So I should actually do a whole, blog post on these shows that actually made me stop what I was doing and focus for 20 seconds.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. I'm going to talk about what I found easy in a second, but quickly we're going to hear a word from our current show sponsors.
If you're a regular listener of Straight and Curly, you'll know self-improvement is totally our bag. And what better way to self-improve than to go back to uni? With Open University's new offering, you can now study single-module postgraduate units from leading Australian universities without having to enroll in an entire degree, which is awesome if you're a little bit commitment-phobic and don't really know what you want to study.
Hey, that's right. Have you been thinking about upskilling in your current job or maybe even changing career altogether? Because some of our listeners definitely have. And if you're wondering how the heck you'll find the time to do that, Open Universities provides you with the opportunity to learn the knowledge and skills that you need to make that change without the big time commitment.
Each unit is delivered by learning experts from some of Australia's leading universities, and you can study awesome subjects like cybersecurity, which sounds fascinating, actually. I was like, what do you even study in cybersecurity? Democracy and dictatorship, economics, marketing, mental health management, and online writing for those of you that are interested in writing careers.
So why not work in a way that is flexible for you? There are over 100 units to choose from, so head on over to open.edu.au and explore the courses they have on offer. Okay, so what did I find easy to single task? Surprisingly, it was things like driving and running, which, yeah, that really surprised me because I am so used to having, like, first of all, I hate driving. To me, it's one of those waste of time activities, getting from one place to another. It's
totally,
it kills me. So driving, the only way that I've gotten over my loathing of driving is by listening to podcasts. And now it's kind of like I look forward to the drive to and from work because I get to listen to a podcast. So kind of giving that up, I thought, I'm going to do this once and I'm just going to go, nah, never do it again. But I found that particularly the drive home in the afternoon from work was quite nice to do, to just not listen to anything at all and not have any inputs. Because I've had a day full of inputs and it just was a nice bridge between, yeah, leaving the office and getting home. I got home in a bit of a calmer headspace.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah, so that was really interesting to me. And running without music or a podcast as well, I just found that, yeah, I found it quite freeing. And I even went, like, you know, I took off my watch and which I never do. I always have a watch when I run. And it was just weird. I was like, wow, I feel naked without a pod, you know, without earphones in my ear and a watch on my wrist. But it was quite nice and freeing to do. And like, yeah, my brain just kind of like wandered and just did what it wanted to do without any. Yeah, it was quite refreshing to do. So I found those things easy. I'm postulating that maybe it's because my brain got to do a little bit of churning or problem solving or chilling out while I was doing those things. I don't know. I don't know why I found them easy.
Interestingly enough, like, I always listen to music or podcasts while I'm exercising. And when I did F45, it's I don't know if anyone's ever done those. It's a group class and there's screens and you work through pods and things. So there's not an instructor. Mm. It's sort of like everyone doing a video together, which sounds really strange, yeah, but it's actually really good. But I used to listen to podcasts while it was on, just because I was always so used to exercising in that way. And then a couple of months ago, I stopped doing that and just concentrated on the class. And I actually think it's made a huge difference to my results because I'm concentrating on the task that I'm doing. I mean, they have music and, you know, there's people around, so I still have the stimulus that I require. But I found that listening to podcasts sort of made me not perform as well. So yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, for sure. Did single tasking get easier the more you did it?
Look, I didn't do a whole lot of it. And I only did it for a few days. And so it was a very good reminder to be present and to only concentrate on the thing that you're working on. But I'm not actually convinced this practice works for everyone. I have headphones attached to my head all day, every day, and I'm a very, very productive person. Silence freezes me, and that's when I turn to Facebook or those types of tasks that are real time stealers. So if I'm listening to a podcast, and I use the term listen very, very loosely, I usually listen to – there's a podcast called Sleep With Me, and it's a guy who speaks in a monotone voice and just tells a really boring story every day, and it's supposed to help you go to sleep. But I just have it on in the background like there's a dude having a boring conversation next to me. And if the podcast finish and I hear silence, I'm straight on Facebook. So I know what my weaknesses are and my current method is working. So I can't see the point in me changing everything just because someone else said it was bad. I've done enough experimentation to know that what I'm doing works.
Yeah.
And shut up. I don't have to single task.
Oh, and this is it. And this is the cool thing because it's in theory, everyone's like, everyone should single task and, you know, and that's the end of the story. But that's not the end of the story. Like, if the way that you go about things works for you and you're a productive person who is not sitting there at home going, oh, I wish I could write that book, but I just don't have time. Like, that's not your problem. Like, you get things done that you need to do. So we got to be realistic.
I do think this might be one of those rare occasions where we've disagreed.
Yeah. Well, I did like it, and I it made me conscious. It made me aware of my twitchiness. It made me aware of just how much I do multitask and do, you know, it's even things like I can't be on the phone to someone and just sit there and be on the phone to them.
No way.
Like, I am totally walking around my backyard. I'm weeding. I'm picking things up. I'm, you know, emptying the dishwasher. It and I kind of feel like I should be giving the person my full concentration rather than, yeah, doing all these things while I'm, yeah, I feel bad. Or if I'm on my computer, I'm worse. Like I'll be clicking around on my computer while I'm talking to the person every time. I actually have to get away from my computer. Otherwise they'll hear me clicking and know that they don't have my full attention. So, yeah.
I have to put my phone on the other side of the room when I do anything on my computer, even podcasting, because I've had, like, we've been recording podcasting a few times and I've been like, oh, Kelly's saying something I already know, and I'll pick up my phone and then I'll be like, what the fuck, dude? Like, you're recording a podcast.
It's a conversation.
Put the phone down.
Oh.
I don't do that anymore, I promise. The phone goes way on the other side of the room.
So I found it to get easier the more I practiced, because I became more aware of it, and I did find I was more efficient because I would just stay on task, especially with the higher level cognitive tasks. What I came up with was that removing the option to multitask was removing permission to be distracted, if that makes any sense. So it's like I give myself permission to be distracted when I'm doing stuff, because I know if something has to be done, I'll just get it done. So if, you know, but if I'm not under pressure, okay, just allow yourself to be distracted and fluff around on Facebook.
Yeah.
So it was like when I said you have to single task, I was removing that permission. And I think I've mentioned this before, like fluffing around on Facebook for me doesn't steal productivity time. What it steals is white space from my days, like that time where you just get to just sit and just be. And that's something that I am trying to get more of in my life. I've got a good amount of it, but I'm always kind of looking for a bit more, where I'm not consuming or processing. I do want to learn how to sit still with myself and with my brain. So yeah, I found that's what it was good about. And I kind of made a little note to myself to make a meme out of that, guys, that multitasking is giving yourself permission to be distracted. Because
it kind of is.
So tips for tips for multitasking. tips for
talk to me about that. I'm very good at it.
Tips for single tasking, Carl.
So my first one is to set a timer. I know Kelly's a little bit against timers because, you know, she's the boss of herself.
Although I did it last week. I did it to single task my 750 free write words that I do every day, and it was very effective. So,
oh, good.
There you go.
So start with 5 minutes and then work your way up. Use Flow State if you're brave enough. I've mentioned Flow State a few times. It's a writing app where you open up a blank page and you set a timer for 10 minutes and you have to type every 6 seconds or it deletes everything that you've written. It is terrifying and also amazing. I use it when I'm really under the pump, because a lot of the trouble with starting a task is just starting it.
Yes.
And if you – I have written whole articles in 10 minutes because of Flow State. I mean, first drafts, they definitely require – going over, but once you've got the skeleton there, it's so easy from there on. So Flow State is amazing, and use timers. Timers are great.
Yeah. My first tip is that, look, certain activities that don't require high amounts of brain power, like walking or washing dishes or brushing your teeth, feel free to multitask, because who cares? Like, it's not using up your brain power, so feel free to do something else when you're doing those things. It's more when you're multitasking too high cognitive kind of activities, or which is when you're not multitasking, but when you're task switching, that's when you're kind of really, really depleting your brain. But I don't think you're depleting your brain if you're brushing your teeth and scrolling through Instagram at the same time. Just quiet.
Definitely not. I just so self-satisfying there. Me, I'm like, yeah, definitely, Kelly. I totally agree with what you just said. So my second tip is to use Long Day app. It's a really good one. It's an app that blocks out sections of your day. I found it so helpful in compartmentalizing my day and giving me very specific times in which I can work on things. And it stops me from having a full list of stuff to do in the day and switching in between those tasks because I get bored of another task. It'll have, you know, 9:30 Monday, write Smaggle blog post. And I know that that's my hour to do that. And I need to get it done in that time because the next hour has a different task and the hour after that has a different task. So yeah, compartmentalizing what it is that you do in a day makes a massive, massive difference to multitasking.
Yeah, I loved it. I do that kind of in an analog way with my notepad. I schedule out my day exactly like that. My second tip is that kind of one of the biggest things that breaks my concentration is remembering in the middle of another task, oh, I have to do X, like, oh, I have to pay that bill. So, you know, what I'll do is I'll open the browser window and get busy paying that bill just so that I don't forget to pay that bill, which of course takes me completely off track of the task that I was doing and means I need to then, when I get back to the task, I kind of have to start again. So what I do is if I think, oh, I have to pay that bill, I just write it down on my to-do list that's right next to me on the desk every single day, rather than, yeah, immediately opening up the browser window. So that way I know it's not going to be forgotten, but then I can get back to doing the task that I was doing before and not break my, yeah, not break the flow that I'm in.
My third tip is pretty much identical to Kelly's first tip, which is single task when it's important. Again, I can't see the issue with tidying up while I brush my teeth. But things like looking at my phone when I'm in the company of other people is just rude. So you need to pick your moments and do the things that work for you.
Yeah. And my final tip is to do your high level brain activities early in the day and the low level brain activities after lunch. And we actually, most of us do these things the other way around. Like we kind of churn through emails and the easy tasks in the, you know, early in the day because we're like, it gives us a little bit of like success momentum. We're like, oh yes, I achieved something. Yes, ding, I knocked that thing off my to-do list, you know, and we feel like we're achieving something. But then what happens is after lunch, then we're like looking at like the high cognitive tasks on our list going, I do not feel like doing that because I'm really tired because I've done all this other thinking in the morning. So switch it around, do your high level stuff in the morning and then leave the easy stuff for the afternoon. And it means you get to finish up your day going, yes, I've ticked through all these things and I've been really productive today. Yeah, so that's how I do it. So yeah, are we going to finish with a challenge for the group? We haven't thrown one of these out for a while.
Yeah. So this week we would love for everyone to try single tasking for a week. We'll post something about it in the group. I mean, let's face it, Kelly's going to post something in the group the week the episode comes out. And we want everyone to report back with how they went and if they have any tips for single tasking to add to ours.
Thank you so much for listening to Straight and Curly. This week's show notes and links will be available at straightandcurly.com.
And if you have any questions or weird self-improvement hacks you want us to trial, you can tweet us at Kelly Exeter or at Smaggle, or you can email us at hello@straightandcurly.com.